chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Just pray before we read. Father, we're thankful for all of what we've heard already this morning about our Lord Jesus Christ, about his coming into this world and why he came. And Father, we're thankful that you sent him. And Father, we're grateful this morning that you ever thought about us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And so, Father, we just pray that you would help us as we open your word and read it. Just ask that you would bless it to each one of us. And we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. First thing I want us to notice this morning is that the Lord Jesus was born under the law. And it's very evident in this passage. The law is mentioned right through it. And that's the reason why Mary and Joseph went to the temple, was to carry out the law. And the Lord Jesus was born under the law. And Arnie has already read in Galatians 4 this morning. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And it's so important this morning that we realize and know that the Lord Jesus was born under the law. You see, the law condemns us. As sinners, the law condemns us. And it shows us. Paul said that the law is our schoolmaster. It shows us how far we fall short of God's standards. We are condemned by the law, but the Lord Jesus Christ could never have been condemned by it. He came to fulfill it, and he came to carry it out. And as the law proved to us that we are sinful, the law proved that the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect and holy and spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And so it's important that we realize that he was born under the law. Because if he wasn't born under the law, then he couldn't redeem us who were under the law, Galatians 4 tells us. Proved to us, without a shadow of a doubt, the law does, that he was the Son of God. Just turn to Hebrews chapter 4 just for a second. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, being born under the law, he knew everything, he experienced everything that we experience, being born a human being. And it's not only important for our salvation, but it's important for our consolation. We have a high priest, one who we can come to at any time. The man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, one who intercedes for us. And he went through everything on this earth that we go through. And so we can come to him boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it's wonderful that God sent his Son. But it's more wonderful that God actually sent him as a human being, like us, in every way apart from sin. And we're thankful to God this morning that he ever sent his Son. And so we have here Mary and Joseph, and they come in obedience to the law. Yeah, they come into the temple. Obedience to the law concerning Mary and to the baby of the Lord Jesus, as we've read. And they meet two people here. Two people that we read of anyway. One's called Simeon and the other's called Anna. And they're probably both of great age. We know Anna's age. It says she was 80 years. It says she was a widow of about 80 years. I'm not sure if that means she was widowed for 80 years. Or whether she actually was 80 years, which is right old age, wouldn't you? 84. In anybody's book, is quite old. But some tell us that Simeon was well over 100 years of age. I'm not sure where they got that from, but some of the commentators would say that. But he's waiting. I'm not sure how long he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. He could have been waiting all his life. But there was a certain time in his life when the Holy Spirit came to him. and revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That would take us right back to the time of Abraham. In Genesis 12, when God said to Abraham, I will make your name great. And then that was passed on to Isaac and on to Jacob. And he also said to Moses that one day a great prophet would come. He promised to David that he would have a son that would reign forever and ever. Isaiah prophesied that a son would be born of a virgin. And Micah, the prophet, prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You know, I'm not sure what actually happened and how Simeon actually got the baby in his arms. You can imagine Mary coming in and carrying her baby, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory. Whether Simeon approached her and asked her, could he hold the baby? But anyway, he had the baby in his arms. You know, some of us probably can remember the midwife handed us a baby. Some of us not. Some of us can. I'm sure all of us have held a baby at some stage in our lives. But when you're given that little child that is helpless and delicate, and as you look at it, I know in my experience, when you look at it, there's a certain amount of fear comes into your whole body and your being, and a certain amount of uncertainty. Mingled with relief and joy that the baby's okay and all that, but not having a clue about what is going to happen in this little baby's life. Not having a clue what they will achieve or what they will do, what they will grow up to be. And as Christian parents, you have that massive feeling of responsibility. That this little child will one day put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A massive responsibility. You know, it's not only amazing that this little baby was the Savior of the world, but it's amazing that the Holy Spirit reveals to Simeon some of these lovely truths. He had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die, first of all, until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit had led Simeon to the temple at exactly the right time. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that this little baby, without any doubt in his mind, was the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. And also concerning Mary, it was revealed to Simeon the pain that she would go through. A sword shall pass through thine own soul also. And as Simeon looked at that little baby, there was no uncertainty with him. There was no fear with him. He knew exactly what this little child would achieve. And he knew exactly who he was. The Son of God. And I think it's an amazing thing that the Spirit of God could reveal something like this to a mere man. And the Spirit of God is within every one of us who are believers this morning. That same Spirit of God revealing to us things, guiding us in our lives. And I don't want to be critical or anything like that, but I know in my own life, I would fall short of the standard that Simeon held. He was just and devout. And Anna was always in the temple, fasting and praying. You know, I believe, without any doubt, that the Spirit of God won't reveal to us things that He wants to reveal to us unless we're living for Him, unless we're living for the Lord, unless we're close to Him. But what a wonderful thing it is when we get close to Him and the Spirit of God reveals to us things from His precious Word that we've never seen before. Things that are wonderful. And Simeon was under no doubt in his mind who this little child was. The name Simeon means hear and obey. And I suppose that's something that could be a challenge to us all. That we hear the word and obey. And then the Spirit will reveal to us. And we're told very little about him. Just his name and where he's from and a few things. But God tells us the things that are most important. He tells us that he was just and devout. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And led by the Spirit, he comes to the temple. Says here in verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now in the original Greek it makes more sense. The word again is not expressed. It says, the child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And you know, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, although it will bring deliverance, although Simeon knew it would bring deliverance, he also knew it would bring division. And many of the Jews were going to stumble at this little baby being born where he was born in Nazareth. His parentage, who his parents were, his education, the company he kept, his disciples, and the people that he even went to into their houses to eat with. The audience that attended him, people who came to hear him, his doctrine and his miracles, and ultimately his suffering and his death, all these things the Jewish people were going to stumble at. Probably especially his death, because it's said in the scriptures that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so the Jewish people, a lot of them are going to fall at this. A lot of them are going to stumble. But there's a lot of who are going to rise. And even those who maybe fell at the start could rise again. They could come round to the thinking and knowing and be certain, as Simeon was here, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But many of the Jews were going to stumble at it. They were going to fall. But praise God, many were going to rise. And I love this little bit here in verse 31. It says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people. And this is not just for some people. And Simeon goes on to say, just to make sure that it's not just for the Jewish people, he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. Thank God we are included this morning. And this little baby, who Simeon held in his arms, was going to be a light to us. A light to the Gentiles. And we weren't excluded in any way at all. And this gospel message is for the whosoever. It's for anybody. It's for everybody. It's for all people. And you know, it's been often said that salvation is not in a religion or any ritual, or it's in a person. And Simeon said, he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And the word Jesus actually means Jehovah is salvation. And you know, it's nothing that we can do this morning. It's not about what we do or what we say, but it's about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done at the place called Calvary. He actually is salvation. He is salvation. And he came and he died for each one of us. You know what? We're singing that hymn that Edwin gave out. And it really struck me. Says he fights for breath. He fights for breath. The Son of God fighting for breath. Fighting for me on a cruel cross. And dying there in my place for my sins, for the sins of everybody in here, for the sins of a vile world. And it struck me, fighting for breath, but fighting for me. And maybe be thankful this morning that God sent his Son into this world. You know, there are many who seen this little child in the temple that day, and none of them seen the Lord's salvation. None of them seen it. And there are many today, I suppose, as well, we could say, across this world who don't see salvation in the Lord. But he is salvation. And he's the only way to heaven. You could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Could I ask us all the question this morning? What are we waiting for? What are we longing for? What are we living for in life? Simeon was living and longing for the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. Anna was waiting for the Redeemer, the one who would come and redeem his people. Are we looking for him this morning? And we're looking for his return. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, he said, when you see all these things come to pass, the things that are happening now in this world, when you see them all come to pass, look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. And you know, we have been redeemed this morning, but our redemption isn't yet complete. It's not yet complete. And we're looking for, and we're longing for, and we're waiting for the Redeemer to come. Come the second time. This time he'll not be coming to suffer or to die on a cross, because the work has been finished. But this time he's coming to receive us, to be with himself forever and ever, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. He's going to come to there Are we waiting for him? Have the things of this life and time and sense of it, are they distracting us? You know, I believe the reason why the Lord revealed to Simeon and Anna these wonderful truths, that they were living close. They were waiting. They were expecting. Have we got that certainty this morning that they had? Let us challenge our hearts. Have we got that certainty in our hearts? The Holy Spirit gives us that certainty. And let us not quench the Spirit in our lives. But let us be living lives that are holy and acceptable to God. Let us be living lives that were witnesses. Just as Simeon and Anna were witnesses in the temple here. He says back in Deuteronomy, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be confirmed. And here was the two witnesses in the temple confirming that this was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have we certainty this morning? We all have that blessed hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for us. But it's really real to us. Well, I've been challenged by this myself, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Is it real to us this morning that any minute, any second, that he could come? Are we waiting? And are we working in the light of his coming? Just trust that God will bless his word to us, and pray that even these few verses might speak to us about where we are in our lives and how we feel about the Lord's coming. Are we living in anticipation of it? Let's trust that God will bless his word. We'll just pray. Father, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ became a human being, made of a woman. That he was made under the law. That he fulfilled the law into the very last detail. That he proved without a shadow of doubt that he was the Son of God. And Father, we're thankful that in that, being made under the law, he was able to redeem us who were under the law, who were condemned by the law. And Father, we're thankful this morning that there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. May our hearts be thrilled this morning as we leave here, that there's no condemnation, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, has shed his precious blood, and that he has took our place and died in our stead. Father, we should be so thankful this morning. These things should be in the foremost of our mind at all times. Just like Simeon and Anna, and the things of time and sense might go strangely dim. Just pray, Father, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, that you'd help us in the days that lie ahead to live for the Lord Jesus in anticipation of his coming. And Father, may the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. And may we be seeking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Just pray for the meeting tonight, Father, for the carol service. Thankful for Keith and Deirdre who have organized that. And we just pray, Father, that you would bless tonight. For those who have been invited to come, we pray that they'll come. And we'd ask, Father, even that those who have promised they would be here, that they will be here. And that your Holy Spirit would move and even save souls tonight, we pray. Pray for John, that he would open your word and bless him in his own soul, that he might be able to pass on the blessing to us and to those that are here. And Father, just pray that you'll fill him with your spirit. We ask this in the Saviour's name. Amen.